الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله كما هو أهله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين أبي القاسم محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللعنة دائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الدين دعاء سرك الإمام صاحب السمع اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقاعدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين صلى الله على محمد وآله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his representative to the world with his book to guide people and to teach people to recite the verses of Quran for people. And remember, there was definitely a criteria for all those leaders and all those representatives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us. There was a main criteria. Allah never sends anybody he likes to do something just because I like, I'm going to be doing. Allah has some rules and laws which He follows. And those laws obviously created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has sent these leaders and great representative with a criteria, and that criteria is criteria of knowledge. All the imam and all the prophets, they came because they were the most knowledgeable people of the planet. They were the most knowledgeable people in the history. Means the criteria of an imam being an imam, criteria for prophet being a prophet was knowledge and ilm. And ilm is the most important thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his representative because of ilm, because they have knowledge and ilm. And we follow those great personalities who have the most knowledge. But unfortunately, what we are looking in our lives, we are not going toward the knowledge. We are not going toward the ilm, rather more we are going more toward money instead of going toward the knowledge. While knowledge is more important, if you have knowledge, you will automatically have the money as well there. But unfortunately, we are giving preference to the money than knowledge. Our priority is money and wealth, not knowledge. While this is the reason, if you see the Muslims are not that knowledgeable in the world. Throughout the history, in last one century, the century which we are in this century, there were only two or three Muslim Nobel Prize winners. Where are the Muslims? Why they're not knowledgeable? While previous history of Muslimin and Mu'mineen is showing that they were such a knowledgeable Muslims. They were the best doctor. They were the best scientist. They were the best inventor. They were the best creator. Why? Because they left the knowledge. This is why if you see in Muslim countries, all around the Muslim population, Muslim country, there are just 5,000 universities. And in USA alone, there are more than 5,000 universities. In one city, there are more than one country, there are more than 5,000. While population of USA is 300 million, population of Muslim countries is more than a billion, and they just have 5,000 universities. And while here, there in one country, there are 5,000 universities. Why? Because we are not going toward the knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Moses, oh Moses, I've placed five things in five things. When another hadith says, I've placed six things in six things, or five things in five things. While people are looking, searching for these five things in some other five things, so they are never ever get it. I've placed the absolute comfort in here. Hereafter, but they are looking for it in this world. They will never ever get it. Absolute comfort is not here in the world, because no matter how wealthy you are, even if you are the king of the world, you will get ill. You will lose your wife. You will lose your son. You will lose your health. You will lose your wife. You will lose your daughter. There is nothing called absolute comfort in this world. world. Oh, Moses, I place the absolute comfort in hereafter, but people are looking for this, for it in this world, so they will never ever get it. This was one of the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And second thing, I place the honor and respect in the worship and ibadah, and people are looking for it in a status and in materialistic thing, so they will never ever get it. I've placed the honor and respect is in the ibadah, in worship. And we are going and searching it in the status, in the car, in the money, in the bank balance, in the house, in the palace. These are not giving you any honor and respect. If you want the honor and respect, Allah is saying, I place the honor and respect in the midnight prayer, in the namaz, shab. You will be alone. Nobody is looking at you. But automatically Allah will turn the hearts of people toward you. It's not that you should be praying in public. No. You will pray secretly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Owner of the heart is Allah. Allah will turn people's heart toward you. This is the second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And the third thing, oh Moses, I've placed the highness in being humble, in modesty, in humbleness. But people are looking for it in being arrogant. So they will never ever get it. I've placed the acceptance of dua in the halal morsel, but people are looking for it where in magics and in do in ta'weez, and they will never ever get it. I've placed the needlessness in qana'at, in contentment, in satisfaction. I've placed the needlessness in qana'at, but people are looking for it where in abundance of wealth, so they will never ever get it. And the last one where I wanted to bring you, I've placed the knowledge in hunger, but people are looking for it with filled up stomachs, so they will never ever get it. If you want the knowledge, you will have to struggle for it. You have to try, because the more valuable thing it is, the more struggle you have to do it in order to gain that valuable thing, that important things. But we are paying attention toward the money, toward the wealth, while we follow those great leaders who we call them the gate of knowledge, who we call them those were the most knowledgeable personality. When they used to sit on the pulpit of Kufa, Ali ibn Abi Talib used to say, Saluni, Saluni, qabla an tafqiduni. Ask me whatever you want to ask before I depart from you. Ali was a person who used to say to people, I know the ways of the sky more than the ways of the earth. We are following Ali, the most knowledgeable person on the planet, but we are not going toward the knowledge. There is a hadith saying, once Imam Ali was sitting between the crowd and people were sitting around him, the masjid was packed with people and people were questioning Ali, and Ali was replying them. Whatever they were asking, Ali was giving answer to them. At that time, a person enters the mosque and he says, Ya Ali, I have a question. What is your question? I want to know, money is better than wealth, or wealth is better than money? Money is better than knowledge, or knowledge is better than money? Knowledge, which is better, money or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says, knowledge is better than wealth. Why? Because knowledge is legacy of the prophets, while money is legacy of Fir'aun and Qarun and Haman and Shaddad. He got his answer and he sat down. Second person enters the mosque and he says, Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says, knowledge is better than wealth. Why knowledge is better than wealth? Because knowledgeable people have more friends, while wealthy people have more enemy to steal their money. He got his answer and he sat to the next to the person who asked the same question. Now third person enters the mosque and he says, Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says, knowledge is better than wealth. Why? Because knowledge protects you, but for wealth you have to protect your wealth by yourself. He got his answer and he sat down. Now fourth person enters the mosque and he says, Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says, knowledge is better than wealth. Why? Because the more you spend your money, the more it decreases. The more you spend your knowledge, the more it increases. So he got his answer and he sat down. Fifth person enters the mosque and he repeats the same question. Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says, knowledge is better than wealth. Why? Because in general perception, wealthy people are considered to be the miser one. And in general perception, knowledgeable people are considered to be the great ones. He got his answer and he sat down. Sixth person enters the mosque and he says, Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says, knowledge is better than wealth. Why knowledge is better than wealth? Because knowledge can never ever be stolen. Money can be stolen at any time. He got his answer and he sat down. Now people were whispering to each other, what's happening today? Everybody's asking the same question over and over, same question being repeated over and over. When people were speaking to each other, they heard one person entering the mosque. It was the seventh person repeating the same question. Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says knowledge is better than wealth. Why knowledge is better than wealth? Because knowledge never gets old and never loses its value, while wealth can get old and lose its value. He got his answer. Now eighth person enters the mosque and says again, Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says knowledge is better than wealth. Why knowledge is better than wealth? Because knowledge can give you benefit till death, not after it. Wealth can give you benefit till death, not after it. But knowledge can give you benefit after death as well. He got his answer. Now people are not expecting anybody to question again, but it was the ninth person entering the mosque and saying, Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says knowledge is better than wealth. Why? Because knowledge makes person's heart soft and makes him tender-hearted, while wealth makes person's heart stiff and makes him heartless. He got his answer and he sat down. Now it was the 10th person entering the mosque saying, Ya Ali, is knowledge better or wealth? Ali ibn Abi Talib says knowledge is better than wealth. Why? Because knowledge makes person humble and modest, while wealth makes person arrogant to the extent that wealthy people claim to be God. When people heard all those amazing question and answer from Ali ibn Abi Talib, they started saying, Allahu Akbar, you are the gate of knowledge. You are the real successor of the Prophet. At that time, Ali ibn Abi Talib turns to the crowd and says, if all the people of the world ask me the same question over and over till the day of Qiyamah, I, Ali, will give a new answer to every single of them. This is how great knowledge is that it is. But unfortunately, we are going toward money more than knowledge. Ali is saying knowledge gave 10 different proofs to the people, and he had 1,000 proofs which he didn't mention, that knowledge is better than wealth. Try to achieve knowledge from Ahlul Bayt. We should learn the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt from them, from Ali ibn Abi Talib, because there is a hadith saying, Sharqan wa gharban la tajidu ilman sahiha. Very great hadith, and I want all the youngster brothers and sisters, we should be doing this hadith and proving them academically in universities, in college. What is this hadith? And this is a claim, it can't be false. True hadith from Ahlul Bayt. What is it? You go in west or east, you will never ever find a right knowledge, but it came out of us, Ahlul Bayt. Means no matter what knowledge it is in the world, its root should come from Ahlul Bayt. Its main part should come from Ahlul Bayt. And it's our duty, lovers of Ahlul Bayt, to go to the world, in academic level, in universities, to the world, show that all the knowledge which people are getting benefit nowadays, it came from Ahlul Bayt, not anybody else. It came from the prophets, not from anywhere else. Prophets were those who gave all those knowledge. Ahlul Bayt were those, they gave all those knowledge to us. So we should be the most knowledgeable nation on the planet, but we are not, because we are not paying attention to knowledge. Knowledge should be our first priority. Ilm should be our first priority. Why? Because unfortunately, we are sometimes mixing the knowledge with information. Knowledge is something different. Information is something different, you know. Some people, they have knowledge, they have information. What's the difference between information and knowledge? Knowledge is in your heart. Information is in your brain. If you want to change this information into knowledge, it should go all the way from brain to the depth and the bottom of your heart. Then that information is changed into knowledge. Like nowadays, probably IT people are now, lots of them are here in Canada. Whoever you meet, what you do, he is in IT. So everybody is in IT, you might know. And mainly the IT brother, they say, what we do, we change the data to information, data analysis on all these things. Changing the data into information is good. But what I am talking about, changing the information into knowledge. When this information will change from information to knowledge, when it will come out of the brain, will go in the bottom of our heart. When it's go in the bottom of our heart, our practical life shows that knowledge. How is that? How it will go in our bottom of our heart? Let me give you an example. You know, we have the questions of the day of Qabr. We have different questions. Instead of when we will die, we will be questioned, that who is your God? We will say Allah. Who is your Prophet? Rasulullah. Who is your Imam? Mawla Ali. Which is your Kitab? The Kitab is Quran. So somebody can ask, you know, all these questions are going to be asked in where? In the Qabr, in the grave. But they are very simple questions. Those questions are already out before the exam. Answers are already out before the exam. So it's not really very important thing that we will be really easy answer, not really difficult thing. The questions are already been told by Molanas and our parents. And the answers are also already been told by our parents and Molana. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to ask us? No, brother, this is the same thing. Where in the grave, we will not give answer from our information in the brain. Rather, we will give answer from the knowledge which is in the depth of our heart. When they will ask, us, who is your God? Who is God? God is somebody who we worship. If somebody worships money, he's going to be saying money. If somebody worships shaitan, he's going to be saying shaitan. If somebody worships desire, he's going to be saying desire. They will be saying, which is your, who is your imam? What does imam mean? Imam who we follow. What we do in namaz, imam jamaat, he goes in ruku, we go in ruku. He goes in sajda, we go in sajda. That's why we call him imam. Imam is somebody who we follow. If the angels are going to be asking us, who is your imam? We are not going to be answering them with the information which you got in your brain. Rather, from the iman and the knowledge which is in our heart, we will say our imam was shaitan. Our imam were our desire we used to follow. What is your book? Book means something you read it, something which you get guide. Nowadays, social media, WhatsApp, Facebook, these are our books. We might be saying, Facebook is my book, WhatsApp is my book. These are the book which I read on my daily basis. Why? Because the answer will come from our heart. Answer will not come from our brain. So this is what we have to learn from Ahlul Bayt. The main part is knowledge, not the information. Information is there. Einstein has the information. He used to write in his books that I believe and I see the sky and astronomy. I'm sure there is a God. Means he was sure there is a God, but he was not Muslim. He was not that practicing in religion. Any really, he never used to follow any religion that practically. Why? Because information was there, but knowledge was not there. Knowledge comes from heart, information comes from brain. So today we have to learn from Ahlul Bayt some knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is Khaliq. What does Khaliq mean? Creator. He is our creator. And who we are the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does representative mean? Means we can have all the qualities of Allah. Allah is Rahman, we can be Rahman. Allah is Rahim, we can be Rahim. Except few of the quality, but still, we can get those few qualities of Allah in a small scale as well. Like which quality is very difficult to get? We can't be Khaliq. But at the same time, we can be Khaliq in a very limited stage as well. We can have creativity. Where does this come from? Not from ourselves. The creativity comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he created us and he gave us all of his quality. And one of the quality of Allah is he had creativity. He is Khaliq. He is creator. If we have creativity in our life, we can help our community. We can help our Shia brothers. We can help humanity. We can help Muslims. We can help all the poor. We can help all the widows and orphans if you have creativity. Nowadays, the world is developing. Isn't the result of creativity? The world has so many, world have developed because of creativity. So many innovations are coming. So we should learn from Ahlul Bayt creativity. Yesterday, we talked about something which actually destroys your creativity. What is that? That is negativity. If there is anything negativity in our life, that will destroy our creativity. It will stop us from me being a creative person. If you want to be a creative person, first remove all the negativity from your brain, from your life. If negativity will go, so creativity will be replacing it. Like, let me give you an example. We all drive car. When you are driving car, it's the best test for your negativity. Are you a negative person or are you positive? When you're driving, you suddenly see a red signal and you say, oh, red signal. It means you are a negative person. You are becoming angry because of red signal. Red signal is not in your hands. But the reaction which you can show for that red signal is in your hand. You can simply smile. All right, there might be some reason I've stopped here. That's not a big problem. Sometimes we drive. Sometimes we see, for example, this can be one test when you are stopped on the red signal. Another test can be when you are driving. Are you a negative person or not? Another test, what is that? For example, you're driving, a person comes and cuts your line and he's so speedy. And if you're angry, what will happen? That guy is gone. He's already gone. You can't catch him. You can't talk to him. You can't tell him that, brother, please be careful. That guy has gone. Now, this guy's driving style will make you angry for next 5 minutes or 10 minutes. If you are a positive person, you will never ever be angry. If you're a negative person, that guy's driving style will make me angry. If I'm a positive person, what I will be saying? I'll be saying, no matter, he might be in a hurry, he might be in an emergency situation, probably he lost his mother, probably he lost his son, probably he's in a very emergency situation. I'll find a way for it. This is why when Ali ibn Abi Talib was walking from the street, somebody swears at Ali. Another friend of Ali comes and he says, "Ya Ali, he sweared at you." Ali ibn Abi Talib says, "There are so many Ali living in the street, he might be swearing some other Ali." Ali knew he was swearing at me, he was 100% sure. But Ali told us how to change your thinking. He's talking about some other person, not me. If we should be testing in our life, routine life, am I a positive person or I'm a negative person? If I'm a negative person, I will not be able to have the quality of creativity, khalaq and khaliq, which is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like there was a man driving and suddenly he saw a woman who was driving next to her. She turns her window down and she swears at her. At the man, at him. And she says, "Hey, dog." And this guy was surprised. I'm driving. I didn't do anything to her. And she's calling me dog. He became angry. He said, "You are a dog." He was showing his anger to the lady. And after a few seconds, he saw there was a dog in front of his car. He was not able to brake. And because of the speed, the dog died. Then he realized, oh my God, she was not swearing at me. Rather, she was not letting me know that there is a dog in front. Take care of that dog. You might kill him. But unfortunately, he killed the dog. Why? Because of his negativity. So if you want the creativity, we should remove all those negativity. We talked about it in detail yesterday. I don't want to repeat that again. So how we can be a creative person? The first step is we should motivate ourselves. If we have the motivation, we can be a creative person. Motivation is first step to be a creative person. How we can motivate ourselves? First of all, we should be saying, no matter whoever has done anything in the world, I can do better than him because I am the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam. I can do better than him. Invention, anything, I can do better than him. Because I've been given ability like he was given ability. And plus, I've been given a help of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam. Mullah Sadra was a philosopher. When he used to get stuck in some problem, philosophical problem, he used to try his best, but he was not able to get any conclusion. He used to go to the haram of Lady Masuma salamullahi alayha in Qum, and he used to pray two rak'at namaz and do dua and come back to his study. When he used to come back to his study, he was able to find a way for his question. We used to start the creativity with the help of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam. So motivation is the first thing. Sometimes we all the time discourage ourselves. You know, one of the bad things we have in our life, somebody says, give us examples of Imams and Ahlul Bayt. What we say? Oh, they were masoom. We can't be like them. This word is right from one angle. It's totally correct from one angle. It's totally wrong from other angle. In the angle that we can't be masoom, that's right. We can't show miracle. We can't give dead life to dead people. We can't show all these things. We can't probably be a Fateh Khaybar, all these things. They were all masoom. They did that. We can't be like Ali. We can't be like Hussein. But remember, Quran is saying, لَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ مُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Prophet, peace be upon him, was a role model for us. If you are saying he was Prophet, I can't be like him, you are rejecting this verse of Quran. This verse of Quran is saying Prophet is a role model. You can't be like him. You at least can follow him. Following and like is different. Being like him means being equal to him. Following means I'm just copying him. I'm trying to be his follower. I should be a follower of him. I'm not trying to be like him. I should be the follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam with motivation and help. And if Ahlul Bayt are not helping us, I'll not be able to be. We need Ahlul Bayt's help as well all the time in every single moment of our life. So the first thing is try to motivate yourself all the time. And different thing, how we can achieve the creativity is that after motivation, we should be first of all motivating ourselves 100% and remove all those negative thoughts, because negative thoughts are the one which are destroying our life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salawat again. Muhammad wa ajil farajam. So this is the first part of it. And what are the things which are actually causing us not be a creative person? What are the hindrances of our creativity? One of the worst hindrances, which probably, especially for the parents, is discouragement. Sometimes we discourage our son or daughter. You are not that high. You are not that clever to get admission in medicine. Actually, it's better to go in some art, you know. We are actually discouraging our son. Discouraging is the worst thing which can destroy our creativity. Look at the Edison. Edison was a person who created a lamp and light, all these things. He was such a dumb and dull person that he was thrown out of the school, and the owner of the school, he writes a letter to the mother of Edison, and mother of Edison was reading the letter and she was crying. And Edison asks, "Well, mom, why you're crying? What's written in the letter?" The mother says, "My son, it's written in the letter that your son is that clever that we can't take him in our school. Our school is very, very useless for this clever person. You should send him to a very good university, actually." And then when the mother of Edison died, when he opened the letter, in the letter, totally opposite thing was written, that your son is dumb and dull and useless. He can't study in this school. We are just throwing him out of the school. I mean, this was the mother's creativity, how he became a scientist. His mother was clever. If you want to make our son's children super kids, most creative kids, future generation should be the most creative and most super kids, most clever scientists. We want all these things. We should make our sons and daughter to encouraging them. Encouraging is the main part of creativity. If you want the creativity of our kids, we should be encouraging them. You can do it. You can do it. No matter what is your IQ level, but you can achieve that result. And the second thing, actually third thing, which is destroying our creativity, is the fear of failure. We are not doing something. Why? Because we are afraid of failure. That I will be failing that. While Imam al-Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi says, we are not responsible of the results. We are responsible on our responsibility. We have to do, no matter we get the result or not. We have to say the words, no matter we get the result or not. Did Hussein got the result at that time? No, Hussein did not get the result. Why? Hussein is teaching us, even if you don't get the result, did Zainab get the result at that time? No. According to the military, people will be saying Hussein failed and Yazid was a winner. But Hussein's way was totally different. Hussein was the most creative person on the planet. In the planet, people used to think if you win, you have to live. But Hussein taught, I will die and still I will be the winner. This was the way of Hussein. A new concept of living was given by Hussein. I will show you that blood can conquer the sword. And that was the message of Hussein. Hussein was not a person who used to follow the realities. Because creative people, you know, nowadays we hear from people saying, Maulana or other, you know, each other, you know, look at the ground realities. Brother, ground reality are there. But creative people, they don't follow the realities. Hussein never followed the realities. Hussein changed the realities. Try to change the realities. Don't only follow what they are doing. Don't follow the current reality. Try to change the reality. If there is a fear of failure, we will never ever be able to do anything. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yo, Ali. So the fear of failure is the worst thing. And how we can remove this fear of failure? There are some laws which are universal law. Like cause, law of cause and effect. You know, no matter where you go, these are universal law. And one of the universal law that I want to talk about is a law of expectation. That is the most important law we have in our lives. You know, expectation should be kept high. But remember, where to have a high expectation, where to have a low expectation. In material things, try to have a low expectation. Where Imam Ali alayhi salam writes a letter to his governor. He says, "Oh my governor, I've heard you have been having a luxurious life. Keep your bread small." What does it mean, keep your bread small? This is a metaphor. Keep your ordinary, don't have a very high standard of your life. If you have a high expectation and a high standard of your life, you'll not be able to live in ordinary life. You will constantly have problems. You are not going to get any satisfaction and qana'ah, contentment we talked about in beginning. So in the material thing, we should have a very low expectation. You know, don't have a high expectation, you know, in material thing. Yeah. Like when person, when Imam Ali was going from the road, somebody said, well, he passed by a shop, butcher shop. The butcher says to Ali, "Ya Ali, why don't you buy a meat from me?" Ali ibn Abi Talib says, "I don't have money to buy the meat right now." The butcher says, "I can wait." Ali says, "You don't have to wait. My belly has to wait. I will tell my belly to wait, not you to wait." Ali showed us what kind of expectation you should have from the life. You have the lowest expectation from the life. This is why Sayyid Radi and Sayyid Murtada Mother, those people who wrote, the Sayyid Radi who actually compiled Nahjul Balagha, a person came to this pious lady, Sayyid Zadi. He brought it. She was very poor. They used to have a very, very low standard lifestyle. She came, somebody comes and gives some meat to her. "Here is the meat, feed your sons." She rejects the meat. "Why are you rejecting the meat?" She says, "Because my sons are happy what they have. If you are going to be giving them meat, they will have the higher expectation. You will go away. I don't have that much money to feed them meat next time. That's why I'm keeping the expectation low as much as possible." Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam. So expectation should be kept low in the material thing, not in the spiritual thing, not when you are developing, not when you are helping others. At this time, you should have a high expectation. Because Hadith al-Qudsi is saying, if you have expectation 20% in God, Allah will treat you the same way. If you have the 40% expectation, Allah will treat you in the same way. If you have 100% expectation in the Rahman, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will treat you exactly in the same way. As far as related to the Rahman, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try to have the highest expectation. This is what ulama, they say, don't only ask Allah to give you Jannah. Mad person will go in the Jannah. Kids will go in the Jannah. Even some animal will go in the Jannah. Don't ask for Jannah and paradise only. Ask that I want to be the neighbor of Hussein ibn Ali. I want to be the neighbor of Rasulullah. These are high expectations. Ask more as much as you can. If you want to be the creative person, remove the fear of failure, you should have a high expectation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a hadith of Qudsi, man flies as high as his expectations are. If I'm thinking, I just want to be the doorkeeper of Jannah, I might be going to the hell, because doorkeeper is next to the hell probably. If I want to be the highest position of the hell, then I might get some position in, some ordinary position in Jannah. Have the highest position in the Jannah, and the highest position is to be nearness with Ahlul Bayt. That is what our expectation should be. To get, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. This is the main philosophy of dua. Why we ask these duas from Ahlul Bayt? Like one of the duas we have in Ramadan, we are asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma aghna kulla faqir, Allahumma ashba' kulla jai. Oh Allah, make all the poor wealthy. Oh Allah, make all the ill people, cure all the ill people. Was there any time during the history of humanity that there was no poor, or there was no ill, or there will be any time in future that there will not be any ill person existing on the planet? No. So is this dua illogical, that saying cure all the ill people? As long as human being is there, definitely there will be some ill and there will be some healthy. So what type of dua is saying? No, dua is telling you to have high expectation. Don't ask for yourself only, ask for every single person. Don't come out of your shell and think about humanity. Think about other, that cure all the ill people, help all the poor people, give all to every single person, never ever miss them. This is the high expectation taught by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. We should have the highest expectation that we can. And this is the reason why Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have taught us this word. What is this word? That word is, which is the greatest word. In order to learn this word, I just want to mention a quote, a narration from Ali ibn Abi Talib. There was a companion of Mawla, and he was coming back from the Safin. And at that time, he says to Imam Mawla, "My brother, he loved you so much, but he was not able to come and join you." Imam Ali asked him, "Was his heart with us?" At that time, he said, "Yes, he was 100%, he decided to come and help you." Imam says, "If his heart was with us, he was not only with us in Safin, rather all the kids who are in the wombs of the mother and all the boys who are still in the blood and in the back of their father, they all were participating with us in the battle of Safin." This is why we say, "Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum fa afuda fawda an azima." This is not a useless word. It has a big meaning. It is telling you to have the highest expectation. Time cannot go back. It's impossible that I can go to Karbala and help Hussein. It's totally impossible. Is this dua illogical? No, dua is logical. Dua is telling you to have high expectation. If I was not there to help Hussein, I will help the final Hussein, my Imam Sahib al-Zaman, ajallahu ta'ala farajah. These are the message of having high expectation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't have a small expectation. Best have the highest expectation, highest thing that you get, that you can get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to get that one. Don't get the small things. You know, in dua, even in dua al-sahar, we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi jamalika bi ajmaliha, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi jalalika wa kullu jalalika jaleela. This is the beautiful dua. Ya Allah, I want your beauty. And not some part of beauty, I wanted all of it. I want your jalal, not some of it, all of it. I want your power, not some of it, all of it. I want every quality of you, not some of it, all of it. Are you deciding to become God? No, I'm not deciding to become God. Imam is telling you to have the highest expectation. Ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Don't limit that. You are limited in time and space, but you are not limited in dua. You can't go back to Karbala, but you at least can do dua. You can't go future and be the part of 313 companion, but you still can do dua. And when dua, there should be amal also. This is the second. If you want to be removing the fear of failure, this is the formula. Try to have the highest expectation in the life. When you have the highest expectation, not the material expectation as I mentioned, spiritual expectation, serving humanity in this aspect, you should have the highest expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth barrier to the creativity, what is that? That is fear of criticism. We are all the time afraid of criticism. If I'm going to be doing this, what people are going to be saying? If I do this, what other people will say? If I do this, what will happen? Don't fear the criticism. Criticism are all the time there. People is to criticize the prophets also. People is to criticize anybody. If you are the worst person on the planet, you will get some supporter. You know, the worst person have some supporter. You know, the world is like this. People are like this. Even if you are the most wicked person of the planet, you will get some supporter at the end of the day. Means supportive people are not the standard and a scale. Don't make the people a scale and a standard. Do, if it's right, if it's Allah in the consent of Allah and Ahlul Bayt, do it. Why? Because I'm doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't make it like the story of a painter. There was a painter, he had a good teacher. He was able to learn the art because there was a student of a very famous painter. He used to paint things and he used to do all these things. And once what did he do? He actually drew the best painting of his life. And he takes that best painting of his life. He wanted to know the views of people. He goes and he takes this best painting of his life, which he spent actually a month on it. And he goes and he hangs it on the road. And he writes, and he keeps one other pen below the board, and he writes under the board, if you find any mistake is there in my painting, please make a cross on top of it. The next day he comes, he was not able to find his drawing because there were all crosses in there. He was very much disappointed. My God, I'm such a bad painter. I was thinking I was the best student of my teacher. He was totally disappointed, and he comes to his teacher and he says, my teacher, I want to leave this art. I can't be the artist. I'm the worst painter on the planet. I can't follow that. The teacher says, what's the story? He tells him the story. The teacher says, you know, I'm going to give you a new formula. Repeat the same painting. Spend 1 month and then come to me. He said, this is the final painting I'm doing, sir. And after it, I'm gone. I'm changing my career. All right, you can change your career after doing this painting. He goes and he spends whole 1 month on it and he comes to his teacher. At that time, his teacher gives him a pen and an empty board. He says to him, this is the board, go and hang it in the same place and hang this empty board next to it and keep this pen down and write it down under the board. If you see any mistake in it, please correct it and paint it again on the board which is next to it. And he did that. Next day he came, the board was empty. Next week he came, board was empty. Next month he came, the board was empty. 6 months, the board was there, the board was empty. He comes to his teacher and he asks him the question. The teacher tells him, you know, criticizing is very easy, but bringing reform is difficult. We are easily criticizing, oh, that's wrong, that's what's happening. But if you can bring a reform, with criticism, bring a reform as well. Bring some options, bring some idea in front. And at that time, your criticism will give benefit. But if you're just criticizing without giving any option and any way to reform, this criticizing is useless. So don't be afraid. Fear of criticism is something which destroys humans' creativity. And if we have iman, we should be believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in Islam, we have riya wa shirkun kullu. Showing off is a shirk. If you are doing something for the sake of people, if I'm writing a book for the sake of people, if I'm delivering a speech for the sake of people, if I'm deciding a know-how for the sake of people, if I'm doing any management job for the sake of people, if I'm doing all these things just to make people happy, so I'm doing shirk. This is why shirk is haram. If you have left riya, if you're not doing for the sake of people, then we are not going to be fearing for the criticism. What we say to our kids, you know, if our kids are doing something bad, what we tell them, don't do that, what people are going to be saying. This is not the right way of tarbiyah, my brother. Don't tell them what people are going to be saying. Rather, tell them, don't do it what Allah is going to be saying. The point, the central point of our life is the people. We are circulating around the people. We should be circulating around Allah like we do it in Kaaba. Our central point of our life should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the people. That's why we all the time fear the criticism that what people are going to be saying. But Hussein is saying, oh Allah, if I am doing something, if all the people are against me, and you are happy, I will reject all the people and I will make you happy because I am doing for your sake. This is why Rasulullah says to his companion, I think it was Abu Zar, oh Abu Zar, if all the people are going in one direction and Ali is going in another direction, who you are going to be following? At that time, Abu Zar says, if all the people are going in one direction and Ali singly alone going in other direction, I will reject the entire humanity. I will reject the people and I will start following Ali. Why? Because entire humanity can be wrong, but Ali cannot be wrong. Ali was all the time right, and Ali will remain right. Ali never feared the criticism of people. Ahlul Bayt never feared the criticism of people. As long as I'm doing something right for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I shouldn't be fear the criticism. So this is the main thing which will destroy our life. If you want to be creative, we should remove this. We should become out of our shell and think about humanity, not ourselves. If I am able to fill up my stomach and happy, I'm able to fill up my stomach and run my life. My brother, dog is able to fill his stomach as well. We are higher than dog. We shouldn't be only thinking about our stomach. We should be thinking about the stomach of all humanity. That are they hungry? Are they poor on the planet? Why people are not guided? Why they are not on the path of Ahlul Bayt? I should be thinking vastly about every single person. This is the main difference should be between me and the other people. Ahlul Bayt told us, all those people, all those kids who were in the wombs of the mother, they were in Safin. Ali ibn Abi Talib told us, think vastly. Think, don't think about this generation of yours. Think after 3 generations, 5 generations, are my generation will be following religion or not? Did I make a strong system for my 5 generation, 10 generation, 20 generation? Or no, the system is weak. My generation is not going to be saved. If we think out of our shell, we will be the creative person. Like that person who had a wound on his head. It is a story of 700 years ago. A person saw him. He told him, what is this wound on your head? He said, this wound, I was struck by sword in battle of Safin. He was saying, what are you talking about? Safin happened 700 years ago. And you are talking that this wound on your head was struck by a sword on the battle of Safin. He said, yes. He said, how comes that? He said, when I was going from Egypt, and there was a person who was accompanying me, and we both were traveling with each other. And he turned out to be not lover of Ahlul Bayt. And we started discussing about the historical facts. He says, if I was in Safin, I would have killed Ali and his follower. When he heard this, lover of Ahlul Bayt, he says, if I was there, I would have killed the Muawiyah and his follower. He says, come on, let's have a try. I took out my sword, he took out his sword. We started fighting with each other because he was a powerful person. He strikes me on my head and I fainted and I was unconscious. When I opened my eyes, a beautiful illuminating face of somebody was there and I was in the lap of that person. I told him, who are you? He says, I am the Imam of your time. And whoever asks you where this wound came from, tell them this wound is 700 years old and somebody strike me with sword on my head. How is that happening? And this person says, I'm not lying. My imam told me this wound is the wound of Safin. This wound belongs to 700 years old wound. If you think, how can we think in this way? If you come out of the shell, come out and we become limitless, we will be unshakable. We will be unstoppable if you do this. If you think about every single person, not about those. Ahlul Bayt were thinking in that way. How were Ahlul Bayt thinking? Look at them. Their thinking style was totally different from us. When we are happy, we say salam to each other. When we are healthy, we say salam to each other. But Imam Zain al-Abidin says, when my father was filled up of wound, head to toe, his body was bleeding at that time, he says, بَلِّغْ شِيَعَتِي مِنِّ السَّلَامِ. My son Sajjad, give my salam to all of my Shia lovers who were not born at that time, but Hussein was thinking about us. Hussein was a person, when he came to get water for Ali ibn al-Asghar, when they didn't give him water, when Ali ibn al-Asghar was struck by the sword, what did Hussein say? Hussein didn't call Abbas. Hussein didn't call Ali ibn al-Akbar. Hussein didn't call Qasim. Who did Hussein call? ليتكم جميعا يوم عاشوراء تنظروني كيف أستسقي لطفلي فأبوا أن يرحموني شيعتي مهما شربتم عذب ماء فاذكروني أو سمعتم بغريب فاندبوني I wish, oh Shia, you all were in Karbala. You would have seen me, how I was asking for water for my little suckling child, and how they responded to it. Hussein is calling us at that time as well. Yes, Hussein did never ever forgets his lover. Even in the worst situation he is, he's remembering us all. This is the reason Ahlul Bayt told us we are gathering here. Where did this love come from? It's love, we were born like this. Where did this love of Hussein come from? It's from our heart. When we were kids, we used to go with our moms to majalis, and they used to bring us, and the mother used to say that no matter how difficult time it is, never ever wear black dress for your problem and for your tragedies. But black dress should be worn by for Fatimatu Zahra's son. For Hussein, you should wear the black dress. This is what we do. There's a poem in Farsi saying, من از کودکی عاشقت بودم قبولم نما گرچه آلودم Hussein, my master, from the time when I was a kid, I was your lover all the time. Oh, Hussein, I know I am full of sin, but at the end of the day, I am lovers of yours. Oh, Hussein, make me clean. As you have turned whore. Whore was a person who Hussein changed him. Oh Hussein, I cannot be changed if you don't help me. And these are the nights, specific nights to the lady who faced most tragedies and calamities. Who was that lady? Bibi Zainab was that lady. Bibi Fatima Zahra has faced so many tragedies, but she didn't get the title of Ummul Masaib, the mother of tragedies. This title was given to whom? To Zainab only. She was the mother of all the calamities, mother of all the tragedies. She faced so many tragedies when she came back to Medina. When Ummul Banin looked at her, she says one sentence to Zainab: Zainab, you got very old. Bibi Zainab says, Shayyabatni al-masaib, tragedies have turned me into an old lady. Allah, Allah, this is the night of Arba'een. Never cry silently. If you want to cry for Hussein, Imam says to one of his companion after Masaib that you didn't cry as you should be crying for Hussein. This companion, he takes out his handkerchief and shows to Imam his total wet of the tears. Imam says, I didn't tell you that you didn't cry. You cried for Hussein, but you didn't cry as you should be crying. The mu'min says, Mawla, how should I cry for Hussein? Now learn from Imam. Imam is saying, when you cry for Hussein, you should be crying like an old mother when she cries for her young son. She shouts and says, oh my son, we say together, oh Hussein, ya Hussein, oh ya Hussein. Say it together, ya Hussein, oh ya, ya Hussein, oh. Say with Zainab, ya Hussein, oh. This is the word which Zainab is saying now, ya Hussein, oh. Ya Hussein, oh. Hussein Mola, us bekas bibi pe salam karne aaye hain, jo bekas o tanha reh gayi. Ye wo bibi thi ke isne kabhi apne bachon pe giriya nahi kiya, jab bhi roti to kabhi Akbar pe roti, kabhi Hussein pe roti. Jab is bachi ne apne is bibi ke do bachche on Muhammad ki laash Hussein khayme mein laaye, dastoor yahi tha jab bhi koi laash Hussein laate, sabse pehle aane wali bibi Zainab hua karti thi. Magar jab on Muhammad ki laash aayi, Zainab nazar nahi aa rahi. Hussein ne kaha, Fiza zara Zainab ko bulana. Bibi Zainab aayi on Muhammad ki laashon ke darmiyan baith gayi. Kehne lagi, ae mere bacho, ab main tumhare mamu pe kisko qurban karun. Meri do hi kamaiyan thi jo lut gayi. ये वो बीबी थी जिसने हुसैन पे हर चीज कुर्बान कर दिया. ये बीबी जब करबदीने से निकल रही थी, हुसैन से इस बीबी ने कहा था, हुसैन करबला चलेंगे, करबला चलेंगे, तू ऐ हुसैन शहीदों का सरदार बनेगा, मैं कैदियों की सरदार बनूंगी. بھیا حسین تو بھی بھتیجے قربان کرے گا قاسم جیسے میں بھی بھتیجے قربان کروں گی علی اکبر و اصغر جیسے بھیا تو بھی بھائی قربان کرو گے عباس جیسے میں بھی دو بھائی قربان کروں گی عباس و حسین جیسے بھیا تو بھی دو بیٹے قربان کرو گے میں بھی دو بیٹے قربان کروں گی مگر بھیا حسین میرے بچوں کا تیرے بچوں سے کوئی تقابل نہیں میرے بچے تیرے بچوں کی جوتیاں اٹھانے والے ہیں مگر بھیا حسین تیرے بچوں کی شہادت کے بعد تیری نسل تو باقی رہے گی مگر میرے بچوں کے بعد قیامت تک کے لیے میری نسل ختم ہو جائے گی کوئی مجھے اماں کہنے والا نہیں ہوگا یہ حسرت میرے دل میں رہے گی آزادارو یہ بی بی تھی جس نے کربلا میں حسین کے سوا اپنے بچوں پہ گریا نہیں کیا صرف حسین و عباس پہ گریا کیا جب یہ بی بی زندہ سے رہا ہوئی مولا سجاد نے کہا پپھی اماں کیا حکم ہے بی بی نے کہا بیٹا سجاد ذرا یزید سے کہہ دے کہ ہماری کچھ مقدسات اور تبرکات جی تھی جو چھینی گئی تھی ہاں ایک چادر تھی جو شام غریبا میرے سر سے اتاری گئی وہ چادر چادر تطہیر تھی یزید سے کہہ دے وہ واپس کر دے اور شاید بی بی نے کہا ہو وہ بالیاں جو سکینہ کے کانوں سے چھینی گئی وہ بھی واپس کر دی جائیں بھائی میرے بیٹے سجاد یزید سے کہہ دے ہمارے لیے ایک گھر خالی کرا دے جو ہم اپنے مقتولوں پہ جا کر وہاں گریا کریں گھر خالی کرا دیا گیا ایک ایک کر کے سران شہدا لائے گئے ایک مرتبہ علی اکبر کا سر لایا گیا علی اکبر کی ماں روتی روتی کھڑی ہو گئی آجا میرے اکبر شبی ہے پیمبر میری حسرت رہ گئی میرا بچہ دولہا نہ بن سکا ایک مرتبہ قاسم کا سر لایا گیا قاسم کی ماں روتے ہوئے اٹھ گئی قاسم کا سر سینے سے لگایا اب آزادارو ایک سر لایا گیا جس کے احترام میں ساری بیبیاں کھڑی ہو گئیں وہ کس کا سر تھا وہ امام حسین کا سر تھا بی بی زینب آگے بڑھی آجا میرے ماں جائے حسین سوار دوش نبی نیزے پہ کیسے سوار ہے بی بی زینب نے حسین کو سینے سے لگایا اب آزادارو سن سکو گے یا نہیں ایک سر نیزے سے نہیں اتارا گیا ہائے گھوڑے کی گردن میں لٹکا ہوا تھا یہ کس غیور کا سر تھا یہ عباس کا سر تھا جو نیزے پہ کبھی بلند نہ ہوا ہائے عباس کے سر پہ اتنے گرز مارے
اب یہ کبھی نیزے پہ نہ اٹھ سکا. بی بی ام کلثوم آگے بڑی, بھیا کا سر گر گودی میں لیا. اب ازادارو ایک چھوٹا سا سر لایا گیا. اے دکھیاری ماں اٹھی ایک غم بھرا جملہ کہا, امسلو کا تزبا کیا تجھے سا بھی ذبح کیا جاتا ہے اے علی اصغر. اب ازادارو دو چھوٹے چھوٹے سر لائے گئے, اللہ تمہیں کوئی غم نہ دے سوائے غم حسین کے. اب ازادارو ان سروں کو لینے والا کوئی نہیں تھا, ساری بیبیاں بی بی زینب کو دیکھ رہی. بی بی زینب سر جھکا کے آنسو بہا رہی ہے. سر کو لانے والے نے کہا, کیا ان سروں کی ماں مر گئی, اب فضا سے برداشت نہ ہوا. کہا لاؤ میری آقا زادی کے بچوں کے سر ہے. کہا بی بی بچوں سے خدا حافظ نہیں کرنا. کہا نہیں میں علی کی بیٹی ہوں, جو راہ خدا میں دے دیتی ہوں پھر واپس نہیں لیتی. اس بی بی نے سارے رستے میں اپنے بچوں پہ گریا نہیں کیا. یہ بی بی واپس مدینہ پہنچی, نانا کے روزے پہ گئی. نانا تیری امت نے کیا دن مجھے دکھائے, نانا تیرا نواسا شہید ہو گیا. پھر جنت البقیع ماں کی قبر سے لپٹ گئی. شاید زہرا نے کہا ہو, زینب کہاں سے آ رہی ہو. زینب نے کہا ہو بڑی دور سے آ رہی ہوں. زہرا نے کہا ہو زینب میرے لیے کیا لائی ہو. زینب نے خون بھرا کرتا اٹھایا, حسین کا خون بھرا کرتا لائی ہوں. میں 70 قدم سے دیکھ رہی تھی, ظالم خنجر چلا رہا تھا. یہ بی بی تھی جس نے یہاں بھی اپنے بچوں پہ گریا نہیں کیا. آخر یہ بی بی کہاں گئی؟ اپنے گھر گئی. اے مومنو انصاف سے بتاؤ, اگر کسی کوئی شوہر اپنی بیوی کو 1 سال کے بعد دیکھے کیا پہچاننے سے انکار کر دے گا؟ مگر اللہ جانے زینب نے کیا مصیبتیں دیکھی. عبداللہ نے جب زینب کو دیکھا کہا, اے بی بی گھر چلی جائیے, میری بی بیوی گھر میں نہیں ہے. زینب نے کہا عبداللہ نہیں پہچانا, میں زینب ہوں, مصیبتوں نے مجھے بوڑھا کر دیا. اب ازادارو آخری جملے, بی بی زینب گھر میں آئی, دو چھوٹے چھوٹے مسلے دیکھے. آخر ماں کا دل تھا کب تک صبر کرتی. اپنے دونوں ہاتھ سر پہ رکھ دیے, کہا عبداللہ اونو محمد مارے گئے, حسین مارے گئے. عبداللہ زمین پہ بیٹھے, پھر زمین سے اٹھے, پھر زمین پہ بیٹھے. زینب نے کہا عبداللہ کیا بچوں کی شہادت برداشت نہیں ہوتی؟ کہا نہیں نہیں زینب, میں بھی ہوتا حسین پہ قربان ہو جاتا. مگر زینب یہ بتانا, تیری کلائیوں پہ کیسے نشان, تیرے ہاتھوں پہ کیسے زخم ہے؟ کہا عبداللہ ہمارے ہاتھ گردنوں کے پیچھے, شرابی کا دربار, شمر کے تازیانے, خولی کا نیزہ.